three ball from CG43. They're in front.
This is flat out ridiculous.
From a beautiful left hand, in and out finish, the old fashioned way.
Newell gets to the basket with one to come. From there again. You have got to be kidding me. Tyson Stiff wraps it up.
Okay. All right, NBL Pocket Podcast. This is the 29th of July. My name is Joseph Corum, your host, and my co-host, the other host of the program is Andrew Canyon. He's here with me. Say hi.
Here I am. Yes, ready for a wholly uninformed, light on intel and information podcast. This is for entertainment value, this podcast, rather than deep research.
We've watched the boomers. We've had a bit of fun with it, but this is kind of just talking about what's going on. It's free agency period. We're having fun with it. All right, what's on the program? So we're going to be talking a little bit about the Longley Australian story, both Boomers games. We're going to give a scouting report if we were the opponents of the Boomers. I think that, know thy enemy or think like thy enemy. Mm-hmm. The media deal, Lamar Patterson, Harry Froling, Mojave King and the Cairns Taipans. And then Mike Kelly to the Wildcats and then a couple of new signings and then we're out of here.
Don't forget Jumpers.
And the Jack Jumpers, Kings. I think the big movers at the minute have been obviously Brisbane with Patterson and then the Jack Jumpers, the Kings with their new import. And then who else did I say? The other import.
The other guys.
The other guys. Yeah.
Good summary.
Oh, Southeast Melbourne have signed a big guy. All right. Where do you want to start? Let's start with the Longley thing. Get that quickly done. This Monday night, I want to say 7:30.
Yeah, I think that's
East Coast.
Right. Or any time if you choose to go with ABC iView.
Good point. This Australian story with Luke Longley. It looks really interesting. I like how the typeset and the fonts used are trying to kind of mimic or, to use a crass word, rip off The Last Dance. Did you see the trailer? What did you think?
Homage. I've only seen a little bit. I didn't want to watch the full trailer because I kind of want to go in completely.
Great idea. I wish I'd done the same.
Completely blind to it. So I sort of saw the beginning of it. I was like, no, I don't. I made a quick decision. I don't want to watch.
I think you were wise to do that. And if anyone's listening and hasn't seen it, go in cold. Watch the first episode and then watch the trailer. Like, it's kind of like when I went to go and see Star Wars. You're very right when you say this. I went and saw the new Star Wars. And in that film, they kind of present like Chewbacca gets killed at one point. Right. But I knew that he couldn't die because I'd seen him and Lando Calrissian flying the thing in the trailer. So I knew that he had to survive because I hadn't seen that yet in the movie. So I was like, he's going to be alive. You're very right, Andrew. I think you're smart.
Apparently, Luke Longley does survive filming of this documentary. It would be good, though. They've got some good, big names tied into it, haven't they?
They got Jordan himself. I recently just asked a question on Twitter of the people who made it. And I said, was that at a press junket where he was doing multiple questions from people? No, Jordan sat down over Zoom with Australian Story explicitly and exclusively. Unbelievable.
Wow. He must be starting to get attention, I had a phrase for that. Now it's escaped me as I went to say it. Basically, where you're not as popular as you once were, and you kind of miss the limelight.
Oh yeah, what do you call that? There is a term for it.
Yeah, relevance deprivation syndrome. There we go.
Well, this is a good one. And I think looking at it story wise from this thing, I'm hoping. I've always seen Longley as a bit of a tortured soul. I think he puts on that sort of it's all good.
If you worked for Paul Smith, you'd be a tortured soul too.
I think he was bruised even before signing on with that club. But I'm really interested to hear what they say. And if you heard Longley on the Howie Games podcast, which I really recommend people listen to, Mark Howard kind of goes, what was it like when you left the game? And Longley really quite rude, curtly goes, I don't want to talk about that. And it was really quite, I was like, oh, there's some damage there. So hopefully he opens up about that, or if he wants to open up about that, because I'd like to hear it. I think a lot of people too.
Yeah, because he finished up at Phoenix, right? Mm-hmm. That was kind of his last gig.
Or was it the Knicks? Yeah, no, it was Phoenix. You're right.
But it was a bit of a contract dump, wasn't it? Rather than legitimate.
Totally. He was totally toast.
Yeah.
The other thing I'll say quickly is, he looked sad on that one. But I think Cal Bruton, I saw him somewhere, maybe Facebook or Twitter, say, imagine if Longley had paired up with Vlahov. And I've always felt bad for Longley because went over to the NBA, made a lot of money, played on that amazing team, but wasn't a huge part of it. His prime, you look at all those fourth quarters, he's barely on the floor in the championship games.
Yep.
If he'd played for the Wildcats, imagine the fun he would have had. He would have had a more fun career. He wouldn't have got paid as much, although Kerry Stokes would have made sure he was looked after. But he would have been such a – I think he would have just had a more enriched life and experience. I think he would agree with that himself. I'd love to pose that question to him. But
yeah. I mean, he's a small-town guy at the end of that. He is living in Sydney now, isn't he? But I think he's never chased the limelight or the fame and fortune of it all. It's never been his bag.
He's done a two-part series on Australian Story now. he's got 2 hours of TV on him, and there's Luke Longley, lofty ambitions. Like I think the only reason he doesn't enjoy the limelight is because he was bruised after his playing career, where he got hurt and he felt, you know, I actually had more to give, or I didn't get to show everything. So
anyway, could be. I'm just thinking, reflecting on that, and him being in the NBA, and you know, actually a pretty relevant role, but a minor one in the. Whenever you're playing next to Jordan. Interesting story for this next generation of people who are kids wanting to grow up and play in the NBA. You know, like, is that the best option for everybody? I understand why it is the goal. You know, is it really the best when you're older and you want to look back? Like, I don't know. I just worry about some of these people saying, I want to go to the NBA just to sit on the end of a bench, bit like what happened with Chris Anstey. You know, just kind of.
Ricky Grace.
Yeah.
He made the other decision. He goes, nah, I'd rather, you know, I could have done it. And maybe it's nice to get a taste of it, but, you know, the NBA, like if you're not held up, like Giddy, we'll talk about him quickly. Like he looks like he's got a chance because it looks like he's going to go in the top 10. Whichever team takes him is going to make sure he does okay so they don't look foolish for drafting him. If you don't get that sort of leg up in life, you know. You're not going to make it. If you're the 60th guy picked, they don't give a damn, and you'll sit on the edge of the bench and you'll waste all your prime and you'll sit there and maybe you're good and you'll always think, what if? And I don't know. I just think you'd rather play. But that's why I think maybe the Olympics is so exciting for some because that's their one chance.
Yes.
Obviously, Simmons and that is like, well, I do this every day. Whereas an Ingles or especially a Patty Mills, it's like, oh, great, I get free of the Popovich shackles. Let's talk about the Boomers. Let's jump on. Boomers Nigeria. Quick word on that. Happened 2 weeks ago. I just want to say I thought Nigeria were a rabble. I just thought Australia played poorly, but Nigeria had no composure whatsoever. Throwing the ball around. They were super athletic and made Aaron Baines look defunct.
Oh, yeah.
But they were a rabble. What do you think?
Yeah, they weren't organized. They played – I expected more from them, to be honest.
Totally.
It was disappointing, but – and they sort of stayed with it for a little while, but then they just got worn down over the course of the 40 minutes.
Picked apart.
And it didn't seem like they quite knew who their main go-to guy was either. Boomer's really clear. It was Patty Mills, you know, was the lead guy, and they milked him, and it worked well. I thought it was a good game, good solid game to watch, really ugly in terms of all the turnovers and stuff, but... Yeah. It was good to see the Boomers just push on and then stretch that lead at the end.
I think with Nigeria, I think what hurt them was because they kind of foxed that game against Australia as well. They beat the USA and then they kind of pulled the pin and didn't try particularly hard against Australia in that warm-up match.
Yep.
And I felt like they were the type of team who should have been going hard in that game as well. I thought they thought, oh, we've beaten the USA, we're something else. It's like, no, this is a team that definitely needed that momentum. And when they hit a whole bunch of shots against the US. And instead of trying to maintain that, they thought, oh, we'll rest or we'll take it easy. And it's like they were such a young, fresh team that I don't think they should have done that. I thought that was a real mistake from
I think they came into the game against Australia in the Olympics thinking, we beat the US. We're going to be right up there with this Australian team. Like, they didn't have the correct measure, did they?
Not at all. Boomers Italy. A couple of thoughts. What do you think?
Such a fun game to watch. That was one of the best games I've seen in any league, in any, you know, in terms of just competitive tension back and forth. It was great. I like that.
Yeah, I agree. What from a Boomer's perspective, like who was good, who was bad?
Oh, look, I can't say enough about Nick Kay. He is so reliable. Like, he just doesn't do anything wrong. It's incredible. His fundamentals are so sound and he's so trustworthy and reliable. I know, you know, you could look at the stat line and say, yep, he and Landale in Baines, they kind of all matched each other. Mm. And Landale had some spectacular moments and a critical one. But I think Nick Kay was head and shoulders above those other two.
Oh, really? I thought it was Landale. For me, okay. I was actually quite proud of a tweet to put out, and I don't think there's anything worse in the world than quoting your own tweets, but Jock Landale had more timely taps than Fred Astaire doing the jitterbug. I thought that was great. I thought that was clever. Whatever. But he got about four tap outs that he didn't get anything in the box score for.
Yeah.
I think two may have resulted in threes, one for Joe Ingles, especially that one I remember, and one for someone else I can't recall, and then hit that three.
Yeah.
I thought they would. If he's not there for those moments, the Boomers very well may have lost this game. I thought he was the guy. Switching from the positive, and I agree with you on Nick Kay. He just looks like he's gained probably 10, 15 kilos.
Yep, easy. He's
all across the shoulders. He is so strong. And the Boomers can't take him off the floor. He's good against every matchup. Like he's imposing himself. And Baines is a little bit... You know, Landale and Kay were the undisputed closing big guys in the game, right?
Yeah.
Baines didn't even look like coming on the court, although he had a good game leading up to that.
And apparently he was injured. He did get an injury late in the game.
Oh, no, I don't doubt that. But that's his MO now. Like, he had an injury all through the NBA season. That's who he is. He's a big guy. It's hard to maintain yourself. I thought Italy were great too. I thought the redheaded kid, what was it, Mannion? Mannion, pardon me.
Yep.
He was real good. And then that Fauccio, whatever it was, Dr. Fauccio, was good too.
I always like seeing a head coach wearing – it was like so typically Italian, wearing the Emporio Armani team uniform stuff.
The uniforms were horrible design. I mean, weren't they just the most generic?
They were ugly, yeah.
They were bibs. They weren't even a jersey. They were bibs. But, yeah, I thought – what do you think about Dellavedova? I got to ask you that question.
Dellavedova.
In both these games.
I'm not liking it. He's not bringing much to the table other than organization. He's got no offensive game whatsoever anymore. It used to rely on him to get into the key and sort of either that little floater or the lob. Mm. You could rely on that. It's just not there. He looks a step slow.
And then let's go to the other coins. Okay, we're a little bit down on Dellavedova. What do you think about Exum backing him up?
Yeah, well, that's not great either.
He's
unreliable. I don't trust him with the ball.
It's the extremes, isn't it? Like, Dellavedova is almost predictable to a fault, where it's like he's almost stagnant. And then Exum's just this live wire, radioactive bundle of turnovers and maybe some good plays every now and again. I just wish the Boomers had like a player with positional size at the point guard who is sort of like an all-team NBA defensive player. You know, like maybe an NBA third teamer. If we had someone like that, I think I'd feel a lot more firm in the position. But, you know, he doesn't quite fit into how the team wants to run. So, and Basketball Australia don't particularly want to, you know, bow down to his ego. Whatever. I'm sure they'll pull themselves in the line with the next Ben Simmons because they grow on trees. You know, Ben Simmons, 6'10", fucking gladiator body. They just grow everywhere. So
I'm over Ben Simmons. I don't care. About Ben Simmons anymore.
I'm the opposite. I point my finger at Basketball Australia and I say, you got a Ben Simmons. He's a once-in-a-generational player. You do what you have to. You bow down to his ego.
No.
Because every Australian basketball fan, he needs to play. So no, you do the opposite. Tell me why.
If he's not bought in and engaged in trying to do the right thing and work for this team, who wants him? It's like the equivalent of Liz Cambage, right? I'm sorry. Better out than in. Look, if Ben Simmons had the mindset of Matisse Thybulle, then hello, bring him in, right? Matisse looks like he's loving it. He's absolutely loving it.
Oh, he's amazing. More minutes for him, please.
Matisse Thybulle is now more Australian than Ben Simmons.
Here's what I want to say, though. Jonah Bolden, Ben Simmons, Liz Cambage.
Yeah.
Are you sensing a theme?
Well, you could say Matisse Thybulle as well then.
Good point. Yeah, he does debunk. There's an exception to every rule, but
I don't think.
If
you're going to say there's some sort of like an African-American, you know.
Well, this Cambridge is an African American. I don't know what it is, but I think it's Nigerian, more to do with. I think it's actually more to do with the. No, I don't think it's racial. No, I don't. I think it's about an ego. Remember that human rights report that came out about White Boys Club? I just think they feel like, hang on, I'm making $30 million. I'm an NBA star. I and it's not coming from a place of sort of I should be this. It's more like, you know, show me some love. Like, you know, I deserve. His lifestyle is what it is. Like, but if you're Basketball Australia, my thought is this: your best men's player and your best women's player are not playing in the Olympics. That is a failure on paper for whatever reason. Oh, it's mental health. Oh, it's this, whatever. If Liz Cambage has a mental health problem, Basketball Australia should be knocking on the door of every psychologist on the planet, making sure she gets the best thing. So she plays so that kids pick up a basketball and basketball becomes a bigger and better sport in Australia. If Ben Simmons is an egotistical maniac, which is very possible, then you go to a psychiatrist and say, how do we deal with this personality so that we can placate him for only 2 weeks of every 4 years so he plays? I think it's a fundamental failure from Basketball Australia. I just think... And, you know, they hired a new CEO. You know, after that report came out about the White Boys Club, they hired a new CEO. Yep. And have a guess. Well, he's a boy and he's white. And I'm sure he's lovely. I'm sure he's a good hire. But when the Human Rights Commission comes out and has a finding like that, you may want to, even just for appearances' sake, do something different. So, no, I'm disagreeing with you, respectfully.
Yeah. Yep. And look, there's no denying that Ben Simmons would be a handy asset to have. It'd be a nice piece to have a, what is he, 6'10"? 6'10 point guard?
He's unbelievable.
I'd be okay with that. It would be a nice look. But, you know, obviously that doesn't fit. Josh Giddey couldn't get that game. Basically, he's a 6'10 point guard. So clearly that doesn't fit the game plan. You don't want 6'10 point guard.
Can I say this, though? As well, like we talk about, oh, if he's not bought in and buying... Bogut stormed off the court at the FIBA World Cup, stormed off the court, slagging off the competition and technically his opponents, like, oh, we would have won if we weren't cheated. So basically saying to Spain.
Yeah. He kind of had a point, though. Did you see that call?
I mean, calls go the way. Yes, he did have a point, but that's not the way you make it.
No.
So and the Boomers are like, oh, we're about culture, so you can walk off the floor slagging off. Really, the Olympics was the World Cup spirit, competition, making everyone in Australia look like a total twat. And they're like, yep, suit up for France. Mm. Not a problem. Whereas Ben Simmons, kind of want to play. Oh, if you're not in, get out. I just don't like the hypocrisy.
But he didn't make himself available. So if you don't make yourself, it's not like he made himself available and then pulled out. Mm. You've got to. He's got to at least put his hand up, and he never did. He said, no, I'm going to work on my jump shot.
Did he, though? I worry that he's just never felt welcome, and I think he's thought, that's not Australia's team. That's Basketball Australia's little pet project and that older group, and I'm not welcome, and if I'm not welcome, I'm not there.
You know what I want? I want the 76ers to not be able to trade him, to hold him for at least a small period of time, at least training camp, just some period of time, right? So he and Thybul can get back together. Yeah. And Tease can say, man, that was the best experience I've ever had. Those guys are amazing. I feel so much happier in my life. My basketball has developed. Like, Brian Gorgian's the world's best coach, yada, yada, yada. Boomers, boomers, boomers. And Ben Simmons to just be like, oh, bummer.
Yeah, good. Maybe that's actually a keen point. But I'd also say in response, like, Matisse Thybul is a second-year player, no defensive awards, no big money. Simmons is a big money guy. You know, and as Phil Jackson says, the pretty girls get kissed. Ben Simmons is a pretty girl. And you know, you got to treat him as such.
Have you seen Matisse Thybul? He's an attractive man.
Gorgeous. Cheekbones. You could grate cheese on him. But I'm saying that, like, Matisse Thybul's there because he obviously saw the Olympics as a chance to, you know, show off his skills and get a bigger – you know, it's still commercial for Matisse Thybul. As much as it's national pride, it's also, you know, he's looking to prove himself. And he has. He's made money for himself this tournament. Whereas Simmons would be like, well, that's not an interest of mine.
Yeah.
You know, you're not there playing in Philadelphia. You're not the main guy like I am. If you miss a shot – I mean, Matisse Thybul did miss a free throw that Simmons gave up to him. You know, you don't have that pressure that I have. I see your point, but I say different strokes, different folks. We could talk about that forever, but
it's nice to disagree with you, though.
It is.
We don't do that enough. We should do this
No,
more.
We don't. We don't. You piece of shit. what I was going to say as well on the Cambridge, I found the reporting on the Cambridge thing irritating. I found it condescending, where it's like, oh, I know what was said, But I couldn't. Oh my, can't repeat it. Oh, naughty, naughty. Back in high school, I thought, how condescending. Come on, the basketball public can take it.
Yep. I think if you're looking at, is it Cam Beige? If you're looking at her, I just think she went about it all the wrong way. Then look at Simone Biles. She went about it all the right way. Same.
So still same result though, isn't it? Don't you think?
It is, but look who's come out of it. Like I mean, people are still slagging off Biles as well, but I think the way she went about it is just head and shoulders above. Just a much more mature approach to it.
Let's move on to scouting report on the Boomers. So let's say you're the next opponent, which is, oh dear me, I'm blanking here. Who are they playing next?
They're playing Germany.
Germany. If you're Germany, give me like two or three scouting points. Like where are the Boomers' weakness? And while you think, do you want me to give you mine while you think?
Yep.
I've got three really. Double Dellavedova. Double off Dellavedova, pardon me.
Okay, yep.
To Patty Mills. Not double. No need to double him. Put someone bigger on him, make him, you know, trouble his passes, but more than anything, if you're going to defend him, do that, but also double off him in the half court. He's no threat. Make him shoot it. He can't score. And then put that attention on Mills in particular. Engage Mills on defense. You know, he's 6 feet one. Wear him out. Make him defend someone. Make him bang. Make him hurt. And then no second chance points, because I didn't see a lot out of this half court offense from the Boomers. Their first shot in the half court is typically pretty poor.
Yep.
And they got a lot of second chance shots in that second game. So if you limit those, I feel like your chances are pretty good. They'd be the three things I'd be saying to people on a basic level.
Yeah, I think that's a really good approach. I think you could go to Tonya Harding on Patty Mills. Just whack him with
a baseball. Or small players. That's an old tactic.
Whack him with a baseball bat.
Run him off to, you know, his guy who's defending him, make that guy run the baseline, run off two big hard picks. And once Patty Mills sees, you know, 20 or 30 of those by halftime, he won't be scoring 30. You know what I mean? Yep.
I think if I was going up against the Boomers, as well as all the things you've said, because they're all valid, no issues at all, I would really try and go at the Boomers front court. I would try and get Baines and Landau, those two in particular, in a bit of foul trouble if I possibly could. I think that's the weakness of the Boomers, is their front court depth. So I would push that and try and really get them in a bit of foul trouble. I want Joe Ingles to beat me, right? Because he is an interesting character. His mindset is a strange one. He looks very tentative to take the shot. He's patient almost to a fault. He'll have a semi-open shot and elect not to take it. I'm almost saying, Joe Ingles, I'm going to let you beat me. He just doesn't. I'm just not seeing him looking confident. So I'm going to try and exploit his own mental demons a little bit.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, you know, he hit a couple of shots and he looked like really relieved. Like, you know, the last game,
hands up. Yeah, he's frustrated.
Oh, finally, and he's sort of trying to dribble and trying to attack the key a little bit, and he's getting himself caught up, you know, looking, suddenly he's having to like find an outlet pass, you know, manufacturing a pass at the last minute. He just doesn't look like he's got the spacing that he wants.
Totally agree.
But I think your points are more valid than mine.
I think the other one as well is I'd be really mindful in engaging Thibault. Like forcing a switch with a screen so that he's defending someone who's not as good, because he shuts down people. He is really freakish.
Right, yep.
And, you know, make sure he's on a guy. Like if you can do a little down screen, get a switch, and then, you know, have him kind of off on a shooter who's just standing up the three-point arc. Don't engage an offense that's going to engage him defensively, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Because he's a freak. He's spectacular.
That imagine play him and Simmons.
I had to say it.
He locked down and then he locked down defensively and then he recovered to block that shot off the on the baseline jumper. It was just ridiculous.
Ready to move on from the Boomers?
I just want to say as well, Boom, I love international basketball. It is so good.
It has been fun. And it's so quick. One thing I'll say as well is it's quick. The broadcast is quick. Changing channels and all that, you know, we're not going to that. There's plenty of jokes on Twitter, but the guys look tired, the players look tired, both sides, particularly the Boomers. This game goes lightning quick. There's no stoppages. This is a game of squash. Like, it's just going off the backboard, bam, 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 bam. And I thought Joe Ingles looked really tired. He's used to the NBA. Take a lot of time to compose yourself. This is a game every 2 days, and it's really helter-skelter, and that's an issue. And it looks like it's really hot over there. It looks like it's really, really humid in the gym. So, yeah, they need more scoring other than Mills, but that's a long-standing conversation with a lot of people. They'll work it out. Last question on this. Do you think they're a medal? You think they're going to medal?
Look, I said at the outset that they were going to get a silver. Mm-hmm. I'm feeling a little bit more shaky about that prediction, just because – the thing about the Boomers is they just don't have knockdown shooters the way other teams have them.
I agree.
Like, look at this German team they're about to come up against. There's a bunch of guys who just knock down that long range shot with apparent ease and confidence. And I feel like we don't have that. We have streaky shooters.
I like that. I like that. Like, Golding's a streaky shooter. Joe Ingles is very streaky. Yep. Mills is not. Mills is the exception.
Yep.
But he's the one.
It feels, I just don't know where. And that seems to be a common weakness with Australian players, is we don't seem to breed just really reliable jump shooters.
The guy's Vasiljevic. I hope that ankle. We'll talk about him later, but I hope that injury gets better, because he's that guy to me. He's fearless. Yeah. He's one of the few fearless players in Australia. I'll continue to toot that guy's horn. Hopefully that Achilles comes good. It's not looking that way. We'll talk about that later. But I'm shaky on it for that reason. Their offense just looks so found. I asked this question to Boddy and he didn't get back to me. Prick.
Yep. He's unreliable.
He's the worst. I said, what is the offensive identity of the Boomers? And I just thought it was found offense. They are a between the couch cushion offense.
Yeah. It's nothing like what
watch
Lamanis
the next one and we'll
running. You know, like Lamanis that offense was a thing of beauty, but
movement anyway.
It amazes me that can just fall away so quickly. You would think there would be enough of a core group of players that they might be able to manufacture at least a bit of that offense still, but obviously not.
Mm. Yeah, and that's why I have them precariously, delicately balanced on meddling and not meddling, right on the. I haven't had a chance to look at the other teams. They're lucky that a couple of the other teams are a bit average. But anyway, let's jump on to the NBL. The new media deal. This is big news. I sat in on this press conference.
Did you?
I should have sent you the thing. I could have been
there. I didn't think we were allowed anymore.
Well, this one was through my actual work stuff. But Mason from the Cool Cats Corner was in there.
Isn't that awesome? Nice.
Hey, Mason, good on you. I was like, ask a question, you coward. And no, he was doing it in the background. Bless him. So that was there. $15 million a year for 3 years. To put that in perspective, the A-League did sign a $200 million over five, but still, money is money. No, don't look a gift horse in the mouth. ESPN, KO, News Corp.
Yep.
Andrew Canyon, you were there when the league switched from free to air to Fox. Your initial reaction when you saw this particular deal?
I saw it and thought, fantastic. Really, that was my initial reaction. Like,
same.
It was great. Like, you really couldn't get much better than this. Really good. Shame that would probably mean the end of Twitch.
I've got that written here. Like, I asked that question. That was my question. What's the relationship? What's going to be the relationship with Twitch now? And Jeremy Lee goes, good question. And whenever he said good question, I noticed they were the tough questions. Oh, I'm so sorry.
That's Jeremy right now.
Yeah, what's that, Jeremy? Go away. He's twitching. So that relationship looks to have ended, unfortunately.
Yep.
Because I read another article, and I think Kesselman and La Liga will be the same way. Twitch is actually losing out to YouTube. When Twitch first started, it was big. It was getting a lot of gaming stuff. Now that platforming is switching over to YouTube. Right. So I think the appeal of Twitch is starting to wane as person's platform.
Interesting.
I read that article, thought that was worth noting.
The other thing is, like, that I noticed was News Corp, it's like, and look, I know this is the way of the modern world, right? And I'm just an old curmudgeon, but it's sort of like, we're going to leverage News Corp to tell our stories and, get to know the ins and outs of our league. I'm like, well, if isn't that the role of journalism? Like, isn't that journalism? But then you realize that News Corp, being the wonderful beast that it is, isn't really a journalism platform. It's a bloody sales funnel. You know, it's cash for comment. So, you know, that's
in fact, that I think that was News Corp's calling then, trying to hack into my message bank. So, I want to see news. I actually quite enjoyed the idea of News Corp, because in this country, I look at Hutchie and Hutchison, the SEN, they just inquired or acquired, I should say, a whole bunch of radio rights in Sydney. And I just thought, radio in 2020, what do they want with that? Like, who's listening to the radio? But still in this country, a lot of people turn to the radio. Maybe it's a transient workforce that used to commute to work. Now they don't work at all,
right?
Unfortunately. So maybe News Corp has some pull. But this to me is obvious. News Corp look like they're wanting to skew younger. And they see basketball as a way to do that. It is a young person's sport, especially the NBA. So that's what they're going to do. But they have to do it smartly. Like, if you're just going to go to News Corp and go, yeah, the usual writers we've got on staff, like, do you mind just punching up some NBL thing? Yeah, round ball goes in the net. Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
Make it happen. If you just write crap, well, you're writing crap. I'm really hoping, and, you know, this is for us and people like us and, you know, Liam Santa Maria. Like, why couldn't Liam Santa Maria also write at a News Corp, you know, and do something, you know, bless him. And Corey as well, and Bogut, I suppose, and, you know, a whole bunch of others. I hope that News Corp, you know, really aggressively go after people with a good, nice voice and you know, really invest in some young people. I'll be very nice here. A Michael Hoobin from the Pick and Roll. He's one of the guys I like off there. I read occasionally.
Did I just destroy your contract negotiations with News Corp, by the way, with your the upcoming podcast deal? Sorry about that.
Well,
News Corp, you're a great organization.
Love you.
With the Australian News Corp media landscape.
Get in touch with me. If you're looking for a podcast on the NBL, you know, Corp, talk to me. Anyway, but I think it's good. As far as the deal goes, someone is paying the NBL for its product.
Yeah.
Unbelievable result, I think. And, you know, Larry has done well.
Yep. Now, let me get this right. So you've got ESPN, who are the the broadcast partner. But ESPN, they require, they have broadcast deals, because they don't actually have any reach themselves, right? So you have to get ESPN through another organization, which is either KO, which is, that is News Corp, Foxtel KO thing, or you can get ESPN on Fetch TV. That's kind of the only places you can get ESPN, right?
Yes, you can get ESPN Plus, can't you? Like, you can subscribe to just ESPN's streaming.
Do they have like a web-based streaming thing, do they?
I think so. Gee, it's pretty average. I've seen it advertised places. It might just be when I've been on an American VPN. I can't really.
Because that's the one thing. What's the best? That was what I was thinking. What's the best method by which I would do this? And I have a Fetch TV box, but it's in the lounge room, right? And it's fine. I don't love it. It just sits there most of the time. But for the purpose, over the last month, I've subscribed to their package that gives me ESPN channels.
All right.
Which has been fine, and it's a bit cheaper than KO, but then KO goes with you everywhere, like it's on computers.
See, I have KO, and I really like KO. I have it. I think it's worth it. It's about $1 a day, and I like it. So if people are out there and listening, how am I going to get into it? I would say bite the bullet and pay for KO.
Yep.
What's the difference in price between KO and Fetch?
I think the Fetch package for because it comes with both the ESPNs, plus you get National Geographic and MTV or something or other. They sell it. It's kind of like it's like a mini Foxtel package. And I think it's like $15 a month or something.
Yeah, whereas KO would be about 25.
Yep.
Yeah, and that's just one screen, like a very basic KO package. And I think KO as well, like if you're not using it in the most basic sense, like on your laptop, to get multiple screens, and I think it's 35. So
right.
But still, I'd recommend KO. I really, it's a good platform. I've actually never had any problems with it. Streams well, good interface. I'm a fan, but
yeah. I've had it from time to time, but never been it's never been a permanent fixture of my home.
The other thing I want to say about this one is, okay, so the question was posed, I forget by who, I think maybe that West Australian writer, Craig O'Donoghue.
Is that him?
I think he posed it. He's basically said the clubs haven't made a cent out of this thing, this league for a long time. What, you know, will that change with this deal? And the, you know, the question being, what is the split of the money?
Okay.
And then Jeremy Lolliga replied, that's commercial confidence.
He didn't. So, that's a good question.
That's a great question, and one that I was so eager to. It was Mike. It was the one that I had first up, and then an RFK has been asked across that off.
Right.
Commercial confidence, it could be, they could be giving it all to the clubs. I would think, and I'll get your, you know, your, we're just going to have a guess at it, but I think that most of this money's gone to the league.
Yep.
And Larry Kessman to recoup that initial investment, which has been sizable over the last, what is it, 5-6 years?
Yeah. And they may give some small dividend to the clubs. Yeah. You know, a distribution.
I'd say three quarters to the league, quarter to the clubs. Yeah. That's my bet.
And fair enough. I don't think.
No.
You know, at this stage, I think you need to make the league. You know, a lot of capital has been sunk, and you need to get some of that back.
Personally, by Larry, and yeah, you know, he's looking to recoup some of that. And I don't think, you know, yeah, I don't think any of the clubs. Then, but it may cause a bit of a grudge. You know, I mean, 50-50 split is obviously optimal.
Yep.
If not more so to the clubs, but yeah, I think there may, it'd be interesting to see if there's any animosity over that commercially confident split.
Did you ask any, or did anybody ask any questions around the actual quality of the coverage itself? Like, so will they have better cameras? Will they have better angles? Will they have commentators at the venues? Anything like that come up?
It was actually one of the questions I meant to ask, but I didn't, and I don't think it really came up. I may have actually, and I think they had I think Jeremy Lolliga had a very rehearsed answer of like, this is ESPN, you know, we're going to do it. I wonder if they're going to stay the same way. I wish I'd got better clarity to that question. So
it's hard for me to imagine ESPN being comfortable broadcasting something that doesn't have, you know, live in the venue commentators and things like that. I just would have thought that their level of, you know, professionalism around we are the broadcasters of sport, and they're maintaining their brand positioning, having just some couple of dudes in a shed commentating the game doesn't really jibe with that.
What I've always thought as well is like what's the sort of place of the NBL basketball? Like you look at something like On the Couch, and AFL does have, it's a very on brand in that it's like, it's lads on the couch and women as well, pardon me, men and women on the couch, it's laid back. And you watch like when overtime's on, they're all facing camera and Cam Luke is looking at the camera and talking to you.
Yep.
I think they should mimic that AFL style and turn to one another and create that voyeuristic element where you're sitting in on a conversation, but amongst friends.
Yep.
The AFL does it very well. That NBA style talking to camera is very difficult to create. Like even the NBA show does it. They're talking amongst themselves and you're just watching. That two camera can be quite, it's not for me. I'll just say that. But it'd be interesting to see if they mimic that style and change a bit. But I hope they continue the coverage from the finals. I thought the finals series took a huge bump up in broadcast quality. Yep. But
yes, it did.
I think with COVID, I think this is the way of the future. I mean, all these Olympic games, all the commentaries remote, I think that's to stay. I know it's preferable to have guys in stadium, but I don't think, or, and girls, pardon me, I don't think that's ever going to change.
It's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting whether the league kicks off again with COVID.
Oh, geez, Jeeps crew. Sydney must be sweating. I'll just say this. In an article by footyindustry.com, how reliable they are, you go and check for yourself, people listening. It sort of guessed that the league lost about 20 mil last year, all clubs combined. So
that, what, the, which league? The NBL?
NBL, yeah.
Right, okay.
Well, you think that number's too high, too low?
No.
That's a mil and a bit per team.
Yeah, it's probably about right.
I mean, that's 2 mil per team. Let's say it's worse in places like Sydney where they lost a lot of games, Melbourne where they lost a lot of games.
Yep.
Anyway, let's jump on to some signings. Lamar Patterson has re-signed with the Bullets. Good move, bad move, Andrew Kenyon?
My first thought was brave move. I noticed that he's still in Australia, so they've been able to keep a close eye on him. And because I'd be worried about his fitness levels, but obviously they have done their due diligence.
Well, have they?
or he was really cheap.
I think it's a matter of both. I think down year, the money would, you would think, be reduced.
Yeah,
they're a cheap team, but no, I actually really like it. I think he'll be in shape. I'm betting on a resurgent Lamar Patterson. He hasn't been able to go home. He's in Brisbane. I think they've had this deal on the table for a long time, so yeah, he hasn't been in that kind of, am I coming back? Am I eating? Am I playing? What am I doing? He's been focused. And he is an NBL first teamer. It's a gamble.
Yeah.
But if I was them, I'd be like, we're taking it. He's an NBL first teamer on a beer budget and a beer diet, probably. Hopefully not. And I think I'm in it. I'm actually pushing my chips in on Lamar Patterson this
year. I hope it works because they need that. He can be their franchise guy. He can be the guy that is kind of, he's their Bryce Cotton, you know, the guy that everybody links to the team if they play it right. And maybe, you know, and if he shows up, so it's all on him now.
Yeah, totally. And if it's him and Vic Law and Sobey, that's a good team. That's a team that will contend for a playoff spot. Yep. Definitely. Contingent on Vic Law, but he's a good player and I'd take the gamble. Speaking of gambles, Harry Froehlich to the Hawks. Thoughts?
No, I want your thoughts first. You don't get to shove this one to
me. Right, I'll do it. I'm happy to. I actually quite like it. Same reason. I think he's on the minimum, right? And I don't think he would. He would have to be. Who's paying? Yeah. No offense to Harry, but at this point, you know, you're getting very little production out of him. So, if you're getting him for the minimum, I like the gamble. Good body, big body, joins the brother. Gorgon is a, you know, he works well with these guys. If you can get something out of Ogilvy, you can definitely get something out of Harry Froehlich.
Yeah.
I like the, again, I like the gamble. It's a chance, it's a risk, but much lower risk percentage than Patterson just because of the numbers, and you know, Froehlich is going to be a backup whereas Patterson's going to have to be a star. So
yeah,
I actually quite like it. Am I confident it'll come off? I'm not confident it'll come off actually, but I like the gamble. You got to take a risk. Life's about risk.
Yeah, look, what, if anybody can make it work, it's Brian Gorgon, right? And Harry's not going to be coming in blind. He's been able to ask his brother, like, what's this like? So he'll be under no illusions as to what's expected of him. And I think it could be just the rocket he needs. And if you can
get the last chance. Are we agreed this is the last?
Firing. He's a good player.
He was great in Adelaide.
Yeah. If you can just unlock that, whatever it is, wherever it's hidden, if you can get that, he can do some damage.
I'd even say if you just redirect, I think he's got a real mean streak, chip on his shoulder. And right now that's going off everywhere. And you need someone like Gorgon to focus that, what I think is a negative energy, and focus it towards your opposition.
Yep.
And the weight room. jumping on. Mojave, King, and Pinder swap. Traded. Okay, let's not kid around. King, Pinder, they're in the same agency, which is Octagon Sports, and either Moldovan or Moldovan. I'll never know how to pronounce it. I thought this was really cynical when I saw it. I thought, this is what backdoor machination is going on here. This is Adelaide again taking on a next star. If Mojave King plays under 25 minutes in any game next year, I'll buy you a steak dinner. What do you think?
Yeah, look, it's one of those things. I thought Pinder was going to be basically out of the league. I just thought he was pretty average. So the fact that when he signed here, I was like, oh, yeah. Yeah, fair enough. And I thought my first reaction was, oh, Joe's going to have a field day with this.
I do love the agent talk.
One of those ones I'm just like, okay, rightio. I don't really think it moves the needle for either team as such. No. C'est la vie. Good luck to both of them and hope it works out.
Does it cement, and I'm going to use the podcast's favorite word, do you think it cements the 36ers as sort of a next star cuck and a lighthouse cuck? Because they've now got Humphreys, McCarron, formerly Pinder, formerly Giddy, Mojave King, and there's probably others on the books. I don't know them all, but, you know, like, are they just becoming a farmhouse for high quality next stars to get that NBA buyout? Okay, let's jump back on. Matt Nielsen. And this is kind of a Kings meets Wildcat question.
Right.
Well, first of all, the only reason why Matt Nielsen's not coaching in Sydney is Shane Heal.
No,
That's a suspicion of mine because of the whole, if you just type in Shane Heal and whatever, and you'll see that the Brett Brown thing, and Matt Nielsen would not be too keen on coaching the Kings. I mean, I think he would have been their first choice. I think he's every NBL team's first choice, including the Wildcats, who have hired Mike Kelly as their associate head coach, is what I've got written here.
Yep.
Associate. What's a more embarrassing title? Associate head coach or director of basketball operations?
And there it is. Yeah. Clearly they've pulled a Breakers, right?
I think it's a bit worse where I think it's not so much a contractual thing with the former coach or anything like that, or a money-saving issue. I think this is a Mike Kelly, you know, used to coach at United, well-known to the current operation. Yep. I think he's a bit of a plant there to say, you may be over in Perth, but we have a man on the ground.
Yes.
What do you
plant.
Think?
He could be right.
Just casting an eye over, keeping things...
Yeah, I mean, I saw this news at initial blush, I thought it was him as head coach. And I was like, you've got to be bloody kidding.
I almost fell off my chair. That would have been...
And then on reading closer, it was this associate thing. And I just think it's like Mike Kelly, nothing against the man. He seems like a lovely dude. Never met him, but he seems great. Roger Ramjet personified.
Roger Ramjet. Great. That's exactly what it looks like.
So he could be really fantastic. But, God, to bring him in as this associate thing, there's so much uncertainty around the Wildcats at the moment. They're not communicating well. I just think that they're in deep trouble at the moment.
The Wildcats.
At an organizational level.
What's the word on the street? You're over there. Like, what are most Wildcats?
Oh, look, I'm not. I wish I had more immediate connections, but I don't, unfortunately. But it just seems to be a high level of disappointment at this stage. They're asking for, buy your season tickets. So they're already asking you to sign up. They've got a deal where basically you can now, if you sign up another person, you'll get a reward. And that reward is a pin. A pin, right? So if you can bring them another couple of $1,000 worth of revenue, they'll give you a pin.
Pin to burst that bubble that's existed for the last 10 years.
Oh. It strikes me as, okay, so they've bled a lot of members. Because they need more now all of a sudden. And, I just don't think they're reading the room well. I think people want to know what's going on. There's no head coach. There's been no signings. I think the natives are getting restless.
This is what I think. And I think this is a moment in the Wildcat history. I can feel it in the waters. This is the schism moment where, is it going to stay the Perth Wildcats? Or is it going to go into the fold of all the other NBL teams that kind of don't have that strong idea? Perth's had a very strong identity for a long time.
Yep.
This is a schism moment, and this head coach is critical.
Yeah.
If it's someone who's too East Coast, you're going to lose your standing.
Yep.
If it's not a Wildcat, but it needs to be Matt Nielsen is what I'm getting at. I think if it's not Matt Nielsen, if it's Brett Brown, I don't think he's an option, but if it's not Matt Nielsen, because it can't be Adam Ford, he's signed in Cairns. Yep. I think that would have been but if it's not Matt Nielsen, I think there will be a lot of worry that this is a Melbourne team,
masquerading.
Masquerading, totally. And you know, Cotton, as much as contracts are, you know, they are what they are in the NBL, he's got outs.
He's got 1 year to run, anytime. I think, on his current deal, and
1 year to run, but he could get out tomorrow. There'd be a team in Europe that would sign him in a heartbeat, New York minute. So they need either they need to sign the right person if they want to pursue a Perth identity, or if they just want to tear it all down and Melbourne masquerade.
Like, going back a very long time in Wildcats history, but I'm getting a horrible like Cal Bruton, Alan Black vibe when the organization was just a shambles. Not in the sense that, you know, there's two coaches vying for each other or anything anymore, but just a lot of stuff going on just under the surface that we're not being entirely made aware of.
It's a regime change. This is a regime change, and it's the night of the daggers or whatever it was. You know, new people come in, they eradicate the old. They bring in their people, and to the extent to which they do that, this new operation is going to be critical.
Yeah.
Just saying. And I'm not the only one who thinks like that. I want to talk about this new signing for the Kings. RJ Hunter, essentially a Tyler Harvey clone.
Mm-hmm.
27 years old, played at Galatasaray. That's in Turkey. That's big team. put up decent points. I think he's a great signing. I think he's going to be really, really good. He's going to be the Harvey of next year.
Right.
And we know how good he was. Does it kind of spell the end of Vasiljevic? Same sort of position, ooh, same sort of height, same sort of player, shoot first, big scorer. Casper Ware, is he done in Sydney? Is he done in the NBL? Because yeah, signing... well,
yeah, you thought it was goodbye to Vasiljevic or a question mark around. I just immediately thought, I didn't even think about him. I thought about Casper Ware. I was like, nah, Casper's done. He's gone.
Oh, for sure. In Sydney, he was on, I think, 600K plus, and they're not eager to do that again.
I reckon he's done, full stop.
Wow.
I've seen his best, and his best is behind him.
I'll ask you this question. Who would you rather have, Matthew Dellavedova or Casper Ware?
Casper Ware.
Same. Do we talk about this? Dellavedova's on $700,000 a year for 3 years. Each year.
Cha-ching. Wow.
Yeah, I know. That's three-quarters of the salary.
The corpse of Matthew Dellavedova.
Oh, unbelievable. How are you going to recoup something? Anyway,
he looks like just any old bench guy.
Yeah. You know, how are you going to get? But is he worth commercially 700K? I think we spoke about that in the last one. So
he's lovable,
very.
I'm not sure lovable sells $700,000 worth of tickets.
It's a lot of tickets.
Maybe the first game, and then they watch him, and they're like, "Okay,
yeah, we'll see." He better be very charming. I want to talk about this: the recent European flair to the signings. Got a guy from Russia, yeah. Got a guy from Germany. This is not typical of the NBL. This is kind of exciting. They're young players. I don't know how good they'll be, but they'll be something.
Yeah.
I like it.
I sign in your league and I come here to play your basketball. I can't do a very good Russian accent.
Jack Jumpers have signed the Russian kid and then United have signed the German kid. Interesting stuff. Interesting.
I like it.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. Southeast Melbourne, we're doing this real quick because we're running out of technical space and all kinds of stuff, guys. But I want to talk to you about this. Southeast Melbourne, have they finally conceded that they need rim protection? They signed this kid, 7-footer, Zach Hankins, 24 years old.
Is that Hanky McSpanky? Have you seen his Twitter handle?
It's not Hanky McSpanky.
It is Hanky McSpanky.
Oh, dearie me. I thought it was Tom Hankins or something. Chet Hayes. I think... this guy, I've got one question for the Southeast Melbourne. Can he hedge or guard quicks with efficiency off pick and roll? That's all. He may be 7 foot, but maybe he's athletic. If he can cover guys on the perimeter, be the anti-Colton Iverson, then I'll take a look at him. That's all he has to be able to do, move his puppies out in the perimeter. Haven't seen him play. But I'll have a look at him and make an assessment. But
what does it mean for Dane Pinot?
Well, I think he can play alongside Dane. Oh, if this guy can shoot from the outside, Dane Pinot's okay. But if he can't, you know, it just sort of says again, like, are they preparing for his unavailability again? Back's a bad one. Once you have a bad back, that normally lingers with you for your entire life.
Yes.
I hope not. I hope we're wrong. I think we're done.
Wow.
I don't know if I don't know if this last set of recording was worth those lines, but they're in there.
So, if when you're listening to this podcast, you think there's some weird sort of edits going on, it's the fact that we've done three recordings, we've glued them together.
Yeah.
And trying to make it work.
Did they have an aneurysm at two times during the recording? I have had the AstraZeneca jab. It could be some sort of clot issue in the brain. Who knows? Hope not.
Wow. It's the off season.
All right. Thanks very much, everyone. We're not really selling much at the minute, but Booktopia, if you're going to buy a book. I bought one just the other day through Booktopia. I forget the title, but bought one. What other content? I'm going to try and get the people from Australian Story. If I can get them, Andrew, we'll have the chats with them about.
Oh, wow.
But definitely watch that on Monday night, everyone.
Yeah.
I don't know when the Boomers next play, but it's soon.
Tomorrow night, I think it is. Tomorrow? There you go. I had it in my diary anyway. I can't remember. It'd be helpful if I did research, but it's the off season, so
nice,
I'm 4:20. There we go. That's yesterday's game. 4:20 p.m. according to me. Although take that with a grain of salt because I tuned in 4:20 the other day and the game had already started. So let's say 4:00 on Saturday. That's 4:00 Western. The only time that truly matters.
Am I right in saying that the Boomers this result against Germany is kind of inconsequential? They're through anyway.
They are through. It just depends on whether they end up top of their pool and then how that affects whatever bizarre crossover system that FIBA have arranged with three pools and then they pick the best the best of the losers go through, and then they put them all in a hat or something.
Sack race, you know, through Tiananmen Square. Yeah. I'd never be able to work out that stuff.
All in the effort to stop tanking, I think. I think that was the motivation.
I mean, that's the thing. People scoffed at me. People were very mean when I suggested that Nigeria were going to beat Australia in that warm-up game. And I just thought that Australia were going to lay down against an African team. It's not like it hasn't happened before, but they didn't do that in the warm-up game.
Nope. They did.
They actually, yeah. It's not the first time they haven't had something not to play for.
Yes.
That makes sense. Guys, we're out of here. Thanks all very right. much, Andrew. Good to speak to you again. And thanks, you everyone. Too. Ciao. Bye.
Bye.